On any mission field, where there is poverty, privation, undeveloped infrastructure, and lack of basic amenities, the opportunities for the gospel are very many. However, one very important aspect is often overlooked, and that is to achieve acceptance among the indigenous population. In modern day parlance, winning hearts and minds. The hearts and minds aspect is a very important consideration in any cause, but for the gospel cause, it is an absolute imperative. We cannot preach Christ to such poor as these if we ourselves do not practice Christ, and the people will soon discern between the shadow and the substance. Their burdens are such that we cannot ignore them, cannot pretend they are not there. Their implements are primitive, their animals are poor, and the land, through lack of proper tillage, is poorest of all. On top of this, the annual rainfall, or rather the lack of it, presents the constant spectre of hardship, drought, and famine. Here in these outer reaches of Cambaland, employment is non-existent, sickness is rife, and, as in all of Africa, AIDS has left in its evil wake thousands of orphaned children. This poverty and privation, this hopelessness and hardship, is evident in every homestead, and in dwelling among them, these are the things we must recognize if we are to reach them. These are the difficulties we must face if we are to achieve acceptance. And these are the issues we must confront if our ministry is to succeed. It is by going beyond these very frontiers that our gospel ministry has been established in this region, without the support of any local church group or denomination. Consequently, being free from all, we are therefore free to all. And in things pertaining to the gospel, this is always preferable. It may be no surprise to you when I say that in times of crisis or need, these same people look to us for guidance and help, and we cannot disappoint them. After all, we were called to serve them. Sometimes, of course, that help takes a very strange twist. A very strange twist indeed. Take, for instance, these scenes before you. This is the homestead of a typical Kamba family, only a short distance from our clinic. As you can see, they are dirt poor, and, as far as improvement goes, are in a no-win situation. This little book is a poignant reminder of the reason for our visit. Who is this person, Jesus? Would to God they had known him, for then the tragedy that unfolded here would never have taken place. This is part of the family who used to live here. We have come to take these children to our center, and after finishing their lunch, a neighbor dresses them in their very best for the journey. We try, perhaps vainly, to make this occasion seem like an adventure. For these children have seen what no child should ever see. They witnessed the brutal murder of their mother, cut to pieces by their father a few days previously. This is the lady in question. These pictures were taken 3 years ago. Not very happy, it would seem. And the child on her knee is just now started school with us. But to return to the story. The trauma at this horrific killing was evident on the children's faces on this our first visit. They were in shock, bewildered, and fearful of all the activity going on around them. This infant slept with the dying mother all night in the open, where she had fallen, mortally wounded. We did what we could on that first visit, trying to bring some semblance of stability to them and organizing food provision for them. It goes without saying that we felt so very inadequate in the circumstances. What can one say to children who have just witnessed the murder of their best friend, their provider, their protector? For this mother was all these things to them. But the story does not end here. The husband had fled into the bush, armed with bow and arrows, and the womenfolk of the neighborhood were in fear to go about their daily work. In order to ease the situation, I put a reward for information leading to his capture. And the very next morning, these two young men led us to him. Hungry and thirsty, and with no hiding place, he fled to an in-law's house, and, fearful of a public lynching if discovered, he offered no resistance. In turn, no violence was offered to him. He was simply secured and handed over to the authorities at the nearest police post. There was nothing dramatic in the arrest. It was just an hour's work on behalf of a beleaguered community, where for lack of readily available transport, policing is extremely difficult. The community were very grateful, as were the police. The children are still with us. Here they are in our church service among our other boys and girls. It will take time, but we hope to recover as much as is possible their childhood innocence and trust and bring again peace and stability to their hearts. I know these are early days for them, but whatever the future holds for them, surely they must benefit from our child rescue program. Surely the gospel and kindness and love for their souls must bring forth fruit in their young lives. With new uniforms, new school bags, and new school, by the grace of God, they are now on a new pathway, and one that we trust will lead them to green pastures and a restoring of their troubled souls. By the same token, not all our medical work consists of clinic hours or prescribing drugs. Sometimes a normal everyday routine is broken by a not-so-normal event. The maxim, prevention is better than cure, is never truer than in the tropics. And sometimes that prevention is radical and urgent. Here, at another poor homestead, we are undertaking the burial of an old woman. The body had been partly covered with salt and wet sand as a means of preservation. And it must be said, it served well. But immediate burial is the only safe method of body disposal in this climate. Although this is by no means a common occurrence, yet it is by such helps and a thousand other smaller kindnesses that has gained us a strong foothold for the gospel of Christ in an area where the recourse to and the practice of witchcraft is still a very common thing. We have their hearts and minds quite simply because we have exemplified James 2:18 in their midst. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. These people are the overlooked, the neglected. We might justly say these are the Lazarus at the rich man's gate, deserving and needy, but passed over and despised. These are they from the highways and hedges, which we must seek and find and compel to come in. And yet here, in the midst of all Kenya's troubles, are to be found some of the friendliest people on earth, having a remarkable resilience to the hardship and an admirable attitude to their lot in life. This old lady is blind, lame, and hungry, and yet a more cheerful person I have scarcely met in my whole life. She just radiated friendship, warmth, and joy, and it was a pleasure to speak with her. Uplifting, refreshing, humbling. Vanity is certainly not in her vocabulary, and she demonstrates that fact very well when I ask for her photo. Quite apart from the personality aspect, I would find it inconceivable to speak to such a needy soul of the love of God in Christ without doing my utmost to meet her immediate needs. I could never engage in a word-only ministry in these circumstances. I could never bring myself to speak of God's love while withholding the proof of that love in an act of necessity and mercy. Consequently, every shilling we can give them in exchange for work, and every kilo of maize we can spare for the same, we know is bread in the mouths of their children. And, secure in this knowledge, we do what we can gladly for the gospel's sake. It is not a burden to do so. It is our privilege and joy, the privilege of being in the Master's service, and the blessedness and joy that a giving ministry bestows. In a steady stream they come to us with all manner of disease and ailments. Eye problems are commonplace, and unfortunately, late diagnosis, improper treatment, and neglect account for much blindness. This man lost an eye through a very simple accident. He was cutting a hedge of this euphorbia, which contains a white fluid, and a tiny speck of this substance destroyed his sight. Because of poverty and carelessness and ignorance, many afflictions are allowed to develop, and many only attend the clinic as a last resort. We are hopeful for this child, a lovely little boy, who until now had quite simply been neglected. A doctor's report identified this as Blount's disease, and the description on his correspondence described the ailment as windswept. We are hoping for a good result, even though severe damage has already taken place. I saw this infant quite by chance, and I invited the parents to bring the child immediately to the clinic, for with our help, this can be very easily remedied. Without remedial assistance, this will be the result. This is a very common form of disablement here, and as you can imagine, one to avoid, if at all possible. We are hoping, therefore, to save this little girl from a similar lifetime of pain and suffering. What we cannot treat, we refer, and provide transport to enable them to benefit from the referral. A referral without transport costs would be all too often a worthless exercise. And so we make sure our patients get the advice and treatment they require for their particular need. Some of those who arrive at our clinic are truly pitiful to behold. This mother of six children has this terrible genetic disorder, which apparently has already claimed the lives of three of her wider family. She has not come for her condition, but for some food for her children. Since no needy soul is ever turned away, she is given something to carry with her. As I considered her terrible lot in life, I thought of her exceptional maternal love and great personal courage. Who among us could meet such a challenge if it came our way? And how thankful we should be that our lot in life is not so ordered, but that the lines are fallen to us in more pleasant places. Some sicknesses, of course, are unto death, and even here we help out. Mortuary fees and body transportation is very often beyond the reach of a poor family. Mourners come from many miles away, some with great personal difficulty, but they do come, and each give a contribution towards the funeral expenses. And while the mourners gather and pay their contributions, last-minute details are being finalized elsewhere. Concerning the deceased, preparation is also underway, with the barest details soon to be recorded without ceremony and without symmetry. Such is the life of these bush dwellers of eastern Kenya. They live a life of unimaginable poverty and suffering, and then, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. It is our mission here to seek the souls of men and women so that their contribution and value in life will be worthy of more than a few lines scratched upon a lonely and soon forgotten headstone. What a joy it would be to our hearts if we could see the call of God in some young life, a call to full-time service among these people. Someone to share their hardship, someone to care for their souls, someone who, at the call of God, would be willing to take up this mantle and wear it with zeal, determination, and courage.
I'm very pleased to be here as part of a team who have come from the UK to help provide this children's play park for our orphans here. And it gives me great pleasure to officially open this play park for the children.
Our childcare encompasses all our children's needs, and indeed much more than they could ever have hoped for. Parents, of course, accepted. Their education is such that many parents would gladly pay for, but to these it is free, for they have no one to pay, no one to provide, no one to care. And so for these, we pay, we provide, for we care. And here at our centre, even the youngest are given tuition in a classroom environment. Since the knowledge of God is the basis of all true learning, we instruct them diligently in the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. We preach to them and water the seed sown, and we trust in God to give the increase. And so, as far as we can in feeding, schooling, and Bible knowledge, Our centre provides all, and when they fall sick, we attend to them. Here in this little room, specially set apart for sick children, we nurse them back to health. Because they are orphan or fatherless, we always go the second mile in times of sickness. But it must be said that even our love and attention cannot prevent the tear that we sometimes find upon the lid of the sleeping child, or the telltale stain upon the pillow where they cry themselves to sleep. At such times, we are left to wonder what thoughts prompted the tears, what hidden heartache lies beyond our capacity to heal. I said earlier how we would long to have someone called to serve here in a full-time capacity. Well, if this presentation has conveyed any idea of the work, it must have conveyed the diversity of the work we do here for the gospel's sake, and how our requirements for a full-time worker are not for a big head or academic achievements, but a big heart and willing hands. Under God, this work was brought into being by the sacrifice of much that Aaron and I held dear. The early years were by no means easy years, and only by similar sacrifice can the work be maintained. To all those who, over the years, have under God made this work possible, I say this: you have done well. Of that there is no doubt. And Christian service is the most worthy cause in all the world. But remember, we are told in Ecclesiastes, there is no discharge in this war. We serve until the captain of our salvation sounds recall. And till then, and not till then, we must continue. Pray for us. Pray for the work. And may God bless you all.
Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting, who will bear the sheaves away? Cross the ocean.